morning. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Pam. Had to readjust because we were saying a lot of the same things here. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. No, I'm pivoting. I'm pivoting. Okay. So basically, fear, we're talking about fear and fear less. That's what we want to do. We want to fear less. We know we can't necessarily be fearless because fear is kind of a good thing sometimes. You know, if we see a rattlesnake, we know not to pick it up because there's a little fear in us that says we know that this guy might bite me. But we don't want to like scream or cry or have that reaction because that's not necessary. It's not the most spiritual thing to do. We want to know how to react. So basically, I'm going to separate this into three parts, okay? So basically, we're going to talk about what we do typically when we're faced in a fearful situation, when we're feeling fear. And that comes from psychology. And then we're going to talk about why we react the way we do, where it's coming from. And then we're going to talk about how we can react differently and the spiritual approach to fear. Okay, sounds good? Okay, we got that. Like Pam was saying, you know, fear, it could be forget everything and run, but we don't want to do that. What we want to do is face everything and rise. Okay? So this talk is going to be talking about how are we going to get from forget everything and run to face everything and rise. Got it? Okay, we're good. First of all, think about what am I afraid of? Like, ask yourself that question right now. What am I afraid of? So typically, we might come up with answers like, well, I'm afraid of snakes, like I talked about, or spiders, or, you know, I'm afraid of getting sick. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of losing my job, losing something, losing my partner, whatever, right? But look at what that is. Those are all external things that we're afraid of. Why do we fear that? If we look at why we fear, then we're going deeper. Then we're going deeper. And it's more like because I won't be safe. I'm afraid because I won't have enough. I'm afraid because I won't belong, or I won't love, or I won't be loved, or I'm afraid because I won't be able to handle it. So that's like the deeper fear. It's not, I'm just afraid of this spider. It's that, okay, I'm afraid the spider's going to bite me and then I'm going to die. You know, it's like, it's one thing after another, and then I'm going to have nothing and I'm going to lose everything. And our minds take us to these places. But we can have that fear, but we can not let it cloud our decisions. We can not let fear run our life. And that's what it's about. So right now, modern psychology says there's, you know, four ways we typically deal with fear. Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. So fight, right, is something's going on and we're like, attack mode. We have to defend ourselves. And right way, right away, we go there. It's like an instinct. Somebody attacks us, we attack back. We fight it. That's the first way. And that's very common. It used to be just fight or flight. But, you know, psychology these days, we ask more questions. We get more answers. So you know what that is, fight. Put up your dukes. I'm going to fight this. I don't want this. I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to go to the city council and talk because I'm angry and I'm going to fight this. I'm not going to let this happen to my city, to my house, to my whatever, the ownership of it. Flight is the I'm out of here. Just run. I see the rattlesnake or the bear comes at me. I'm going to run. I am done. Out. Avoidance. That's another spiritual, psychological term, avoidance, right? There's people who are too attached, and then there are people who avoid those people run. They run away. Then there is freeze, where it's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to do nothing. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stand here and close my eyes and pretend it didn't happen, and everything's going to go away, and it's going to be fine. It's just going to be fine. That's being in total denial. Freeze. If I just pretend it's not there, it won't be there. I'll open my eyes and it's gone. Phew, nothing to be afraid of. That never happens. And then fawn, this is the newest one. It's where we're like, well, if I can only be nice enough, if I can only give so much, I'll just take care of the problem. I'll buy the guy off. Here, take my money. Go away. You know, whatever it is, fawn. You give up yourself that way. Anything. Take me instead. Don't kill her. Take me instead. You know, whatever. That it's self-sacrificing is what I'm trying to say. You're fawning. Oh, you're such a nice person. You're not going to hurt me. You know, that kind of thing. When you really want to say, get out of here. You know, you. Yeah, so-and-so. That's a nice way of putting it. Thank you. I was trying to think of the euphemism. Okay. So what do we do? Because basically our nervous system, the way we, you know, psychology tells us that there's this mind and body system, our nervous system doesn't know the difference between an external threat and an internal threat. So it reacts the same way. It's this, you know, that reptilian part of us that just like reacts. And if you are a sensitive person, like a lot of us are, spiritual people are, a lot of us are empaths, so we feel very deeply. This can be a real problem. You know, someone insults you, or someone, you know, says, oh, you know, flips you off in traffic, and you feel attacked like a tiger's running after you. You feel really fearful. And what did I do? What did I do? You know, and self-blame and all that kind of stuff. So it's important for us to understand the process of this so that we don't have to suffer. That's the idea, is we're going to be fearful. There is fear out there. Things happen. It's like when the Buddha said pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. Well, fear is part of life too. But do we have to be fearful? No. We can fear less. We don't have to be fearless. We don't have to be that brave, bold person, you know, attacking the bear. We don't have to be fearless, but we can fear less because we understand it. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Okay, so that's that part of it. Our brain goes to the what ifs. And I think that's where a lot of the fear comes in too, because you see the snake and it's, what if it bites me? What if it goes in my house? What if it goes in my garage? What if I run it over? What if this? What if that? You know, what if I lose my job? What if I can't afford my groceries next week? What if, you know, it's this downward spiral. And these are the things that keep us up at night. These are the things we don't want to let control our lives, because then we do suffer. We don't get a good night's sleep. We're not going to have a good day the next day. So we don't want to let fear control our lives. So one question we can ask ourselves is, am I in danger now? Or is what I'm feeling more discomfort or uncertainty? So that's an important thing, because danger is one thing. There's a reason to be fearful. Then you take one different kind of action. But if you're just uncomfortable, or you're uncertain about things, you don't know what to do, then that's another whole thing. Then there's no reason to have fear at all. Okay. So Vedanta says there are five reasons why we react the way we react to fear. Five reasons. Number one is cowardice. The I'm afraid to take action, this feeling of powerlessness. I can't do it. You don't know yourself. I can't do it. When you say I can't, it's cowardice. It's and that's an impediment for us. The second reason is laziness. Inertia. It's that freeze response too. I don't want to take action. It's too hard. It's too complicated. I don't want to do it. I don't have it in me. I don't want to do it. Or then there's weak thinking. You could call it morbidity. This is the overthinking mind. When you, the doom thinking, worst case scenario type of thing. And in Stoicism, there's a quote from Seneca. He says, he who suffers before it is necessary suffers more than is necessary. Why are we jumping to conclusions? Why are we thinking of the worst possible outcome? Why are we what-ifing ourselves down a path that may never even happen? In fact, I think science of mind says too, the more you think about what could happen makes it more of a possibility that it could happen, you know, in the right way or the way you don't want it to go. So you got to keep your mind thinking where you do want it to go, not to where you don't want it to go. So that's a really important important part of this. And when you're in that feeling of weakness, it's like you think, I don't believe I can take action. There's no faith in yourself. It's like the fourth one then is despair, and this kind of leads into it. Despair is like you think, oh, it's already happened, so there's nothing I can do about it. No, it hasn't happened yet. It's not inevitable. There's always hope. But there's not going to be any hope if you don't take any effort. Like I've said to you guys many times, you're not going to win the lottery if you don't buy the ticket. That's for sure. I mean, even if you buy the ticket, you might not win the lottery, of course. Look at the odds. But for sure, you're not going to win if you don't buy the ticket. You got to always try whatever it is. In your life, you have to try. If you want something, make the effort. That's what we're put here on this earth to do. Don't let these opportunities slip by, because everything happens for a reason. This happened to you for a reason. The little rattlesnake came up. Was that a coincidence? Nope. It was an opportunity to practice. Okay. And then the last one is what Pam was talking about. Our ego. Our ego gets in the way so much. And this is our false identification. This is us saying, I must do everything myself and I must control the outcome. But as we know, we can't control the outcome. We can control our efforts. We can control our action. But we have no claim to any of the fruits of that action. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And we can't make anything happen that's not supposed to happen. And we can't stop anything from happening that is supposed to happen. We don't have that kind of control. Only the universe does. Because we can't see the big picture. We got two eyes. We can see this much. The universe sees everything. So we have to have faith. When Arjuna was on the battlefield, he goes through all five of these things. All five. He goes through cowardice, laziness, weakness, despair, ego in chapter 1 of the Gita. it's all about him whining and moaning and, oh my God, this is terrible and I can't do it and what am I going to do and how am I going to get out of this and I think I'm going to run. No, I think I'm going to die. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's like crazy. He's like beside himself. He's like he's out of his mind. And Krishna has to, you know, it even says in the Gita, part of it says his limbs are weak, his mouth is dry, his body trembles, his mind is confused. We know he's having a nervous breakdown. But Krishna tells him, you know, dude, fight. You're a warrior. You know what you're supposed to do. Just do it. Arise, Arjuna. That's the solution. Arise, Arjuna. So we need to recognize that the monsters that we fear are not outside of us. The monsters are really inside of us. And that's what we control. We can control the things inside of us. We can control the states of consciousness that prevent us from rising into our strengths. That's what we have control over. So Krishna's answer to Arjuna is have courage. How does he do that? One word, arise. When Arjuna says, I'm scared, I'm a coward, blah, 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 I want to run. Krishna says, arise. When he says, oh my gosh, I just got to deal with this later. It's too much right now. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Krishna says, arise. When he says, you know, we're outnumbered. We're weak. They have more men. They have more weaponry. You know, we're weak. We can't do this. We can't possibly win. Krishna says, arise. And when Arjuna is in despair and he says, oh my gosh, why bother? It's inevitable. We're going to lose this thing anyway. It's going to be a disaster. Everybody's going to die. Why don't we just call it before we even start? Why bother? Krishna says, arise. This has to be our mantra, people. Arise. And then when Arjuna says, oh my God, I'm all alone out here on the field. Why am I the general of this army? I have to do everything? What? It's too much for me. I can't do it. I'm all alone. What does Krishna say? Arise. Now we're getting it. That's it. This is something, courage is something that we are born with. This is in our heart. And here, I bring this up so many times. The Wizard of Oz. Okay, this is like the Wizard of Oz could be the Bible, okay? This is like we get all the lessons of life in the Wizard of Oz. There's the Scarecrow, the Cowardly Lion, and the Tin Man, right? What does the Cowardly Lion say he wants from the Wizard? He wants courage. But we see him throughout the film display just that. It's something he already has. Yes, he has fear. It's normal to have fear. But he doesn't need to find courage. It's already there within him. And he finds that out at the end. He finds that out at the end. The wizard tells him, you already have this, right? The Tin Man already has the heart. The Scarecrow already has the brains. This is us. We think we don't have it, but we have it. It's already ours. There's a Vedanta story. I think I've told you this many times too. Sorry if it's a rerun. But it's always good to remind us that there is a flock of sheep in the jungle. And one day, a mother lion, a lioness, was going through and she was going to hunt the sheep, and she started having pains and she fell over and she had a baby and she died. So this little lion cub grows up, and the sheep come around and says, you know, hey, you got nowhere to go, come with us. And he's like, okay, okay. And so he grows up and he can't see himself. He thinks he's a sheep, just like them. They take care of him. He learns to baa. He eats grass. He's hanging out with the sheep. He's perfectly comfortable. Then one day, another lion comes to find dinner. And she's looking around, looking around. And she goes, what is that little lion cub doing with the sheep? What? How did this happen? So she goes over, picks him up by the scruff of the neck and says, you're coming with me. And he goes, bah, bah. And she goes, oh my God, what happened to you? What happened to you? She puts him down by the lake. And she says, what are you doing here? He goes, what do you mean, what am I doing here? This is my family. I'm a sheep. Leave me alone. And she says, no, no, dear. No, dear. You are a lion. So what do you mean I'm a lion? What's a lion? She says, look in that lake. Look at you. Now, look at me. Look at me in the lake. Look at you and me in the lake. I'm a lion. You're a lion. Oh, he starts to think, oh, maybe. And she says, now roar. And he goes, bah. And he's no, 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 no. Like me. Roar. And he goes, roar. And he goes, oh my gosh, I'm a lion. I'm a lion. Once he knows he's a lion, he's a lion. But he always was a lion. But now he believes it, so he can act like a lion. He doesn't have to act like a sheep anymore. Do we get this? We are lions. This is Leo season. Right now, we're in Leo season. A lion is what? Brave. It's represented by the sun. It's a fire sign. Leos are like the Lion King, royalty. They walk into a room and they're like, pay attention to me. Right? Leo's got it going on. We can learn from them. If they have fear, you don't know it, because they got it under control. They got it under control. So how do we get to this point where we know who we are, where we fear less? How do we get it? Krishna says, all we have to do to get that courage is remember who we are. And how do we do that? He says in chapter 8, remember me at all times and fight. Remember me at all times and fight. Courage is not something we wait for. It's an action that we take. Courage calls us to arise. Fear contracts the mind. But spiritual practice expands the mind and shows us all the options that we have so that we can think and strategize rather than just react. Fear is just a reaction. Courage is action, strategy, intellect, rising. So fear says, what if everything goes wrong? And courage says, what can I do right now? See the difference? It's amazing. It changes the whole question. It shifts everything. So one way we can practice, I mean, you guys all know what spiritual practice is, meditation, prayer, coming to church on Sunday. But another way we can keep God in mind is a practice called Nama Japa. And it's repeating the name of God over and over and over again. So one thing I like to do, and Swami taught me this, and I learned it many times from different teachers. When you have those brief periods of downtime, rather than checking your phone, looking on Instagram, turning on the car radio, making a phone call, whatever, you're driving along, repeat the name of God. Do your mantra. It could be something simple like, thank you, God, for this beautiful day. You know, just keep saying it over and over again. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day. And even if it wasn't a beautiful day, I'm sure when you get to your destination, it's going to be a beautiful day. You've got it, you know? The first mantra I learned was Om Namah Shivaya. Like, I honor the divine within me. And that gives you strength and power. Om Namah Shivaya. The name of God is right in there. Shivaya. Identifying with the name of God. Krishna, God, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, take the wheel. What, you know, call upon Jesus. He's right there by your side. Call upon Krishna, your best friend. He's right there by your side. All the time, think the name of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother. However you want to do. Because the name of God is not just a word. The name of God carries the presence and the consciousness of what it names. So that's it. It's a holy, holy expression. It's identifying with the divine, which gives you strength, which gives you courage, and it strengthens our faith. So do not let fear determine your path. It's okay if fear knocks on the door, but who's going to open the door? Faith. Faith will answer the door. And when faith opens the door, fear sees that, oh, I'm not in charge here. So from faith comes our courage, and from faith comes our strength. So arise, Arjuna. All you Arjunas. All right, let's end with a quick prayer. Show me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to know. Give me the seeds I need to sow. And thank you for this chance to grow. Amen. And so it is. Om Tat Sat.